The year was 1987. Middle of July 1987 in the city of New York. Little baby girl was born, given the name Carlina White. She went home, as you would expect, not many days after that, but developed a fever that her mother could not get under control. So her mother took her back to the hospital. On August 4th, 1987, Carlina was 19 days old, had a horrible fever. And a woman who was dressed as a nurse and posed as a nurse took Carlina to care for her. That's the last time that her mother saw her. Carlina White disappeared from her mother on August 4th, 1987. Can you imagine the grief that that mother had to have gone through? Can you imagine the questions that she had to have? Can you imagine the blanks that she had that were not, she couldn't fill any details? What had transpired? She brought her 19-day-old daughter to the hospital, and her daughter was gone. Fast forward to 2010. There was a 23-year-old young lady in Atlanta, Georgia, who happened to figure out that she had been kidnapped as a baby. She happened to figure out that her real name was Carlina White. She happened to be able to locate her mother, who was still alive in New York. By the way, her mother's name was Joy, go figure. That her mother's name was Joy White. She found her mother still living in New York. And there was a reunion of Joy White and her daughter Carlina White after 23 years that her daughter had been lost. She had no idea where she was. Imagine the joy that Joy White felt seeing her daughter after 23 years. The mother said that she never lost hope. She kept a picture of baby Carlina on her nightstand since August of 1987. Sometimes people go missing. Sometimes people get lost and we have no idea where they are. It's a little different than the story. The wife, the mother named Rebecca, who told the story about her husband named Ronald, who found a younger woman that he found to be more attractive, found to be more appealing. Ronald, as is a story that many of us could know with different names, left his wife, left his children for this younger girl that he had found at work. But he didn't leave town. He didn't move away. Unlike the story about Carlina, where the mother had absolutely no idea where her daughter was, Rebecca knew exactly where her husband, her ex-husband Ronald, was. He still lived in the same city. Still worked the same job. Still went to the same places. In fact, Rebecca and the children would often see Dad, see husband Ronald around town, but he was no longer to them what he once was. Sometimes our family members leave. Sometimes our family members go away from us, and unlike Carlina, we know where they are. We know what they're doing, but we know they're not of us anymore. They've gone out on their own. I want you to take these two very different stories this morning, and I want you to apply them to our Christian family. I want you to apply them to our Christian family in an understanding that sometimes members of our Christian family go missing and we have no idea why. We have no idea where they've gone. We've just turned around and they're no longer where they once were, and we don't know what has happened to them, similar perhaps to the story of Carlina. But sometimes members of our Christian family disappear. They leave us, but we still know where they are. We still see them around town from time to time. They're just off with some other family members, doing what they want to do instead of being with the church family. The Bible makes it very clear. Makes it very clear that once someone becomes a child of God, once one becomes a member of the family of God, that a person can so live that they can fall away from the family of God. They can leave God's family. Bible, the New Testament is full of examples, full of warnings, full of commandments, full of teachings that tell us that it's possible for someone to fall. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. It's possible for a person to fall away from God. Hebrews 6 and verse 6. It's possible for someone not only to fall and to fall away, but it's possible for that person to fall from grace. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. It's possible for someone, you heard it in the reading from James chapter 5 and verse 19, it's possible for someone to turn away from the truth. It's possible for someone to turn away from Christ, Galatians 1 and verse 6. It's possible for someone to so live that he will need to repent and pray God that he might be forgiven of the sin he's committed, like Simon in Acts 8 and verse 22. It's possible for a child of God to so live that he can become again entangled in the affairs of the world, separated from God, having turned from the holy commandment of God in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. It must have been the worst day of Joy White's life on August 4th, 1987, when she had no idea what happened to her daughter. Must have been the worst day of Rebecca's life when her husband came to her and said, "I don't want to be with you anymore. I want to be with someone else," and left her to go have a different family. How does the family of God react when one of our own leaves us? How does the family of God respond when one who used to be among us is no longer among us? One who used to be a part of us is now separated by their own choice, is now separated from us. What will we do? How should we respond? Will we respond in a flippant manner? Say, "Well, that's their choice. You know, they get to do what they want to do. I'll do what I want to do, and, you know, we'll just go about our day." Will we respond with a harsh attitude that just bids them good riddance and say, "Well, forget them. We don't want them anyway"? Or will we have the heart of compassion? The heart of compassion that God calls us to have. The heart of compassion where He wants us to see a soul that needs to go to heaven. And what can we do about getting that soul into heaven? This morning I want us to look at this topic of helping our lost family members come home. And this lesson only has two parts. It's found in James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. The first part's in verse 19. Second part is in verse 20. The first part of what we need to do this morning is we need to recognize our responsibility in this regard. What do we do when a family member has gone missing? What do we do when a family member is no longer among us? What do we do when one of God's children has left the family? We've got to take responsibility. Recognize that we have a responsibility to help convert them. Sometimes we think about the word convert and we think that's only something that is done with a non-Christian, that a non-Christian is converted to Christ. But depending on what translation you have, you may have the word convert in James chapter 5, verses 19 through 20. Y'all are getting a handout. If you'll just hang on to it, I'm going to get to it in about 2 minutes. In about 2 minutes and 40 seconds. Okay, so we'll get there in just a second. Just hold on to it. In James chapter 5, the Bible says, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, let him know that he who turns Some translations say converts. We have a responsibility to help convert the wayward Christian. Now, it's not something that we do. We don't convert them. We simply help them to turn. There's three things that we need to do in order to help them to be converted. The first thing we've got to do is reach out. The first thing we've got to do to help a wayward brother or sister come back is to reach out. Some of you are still looking at that handout and you're not even listening. We've got to reach out to them. In Luke chapter 15, I've still got 37 seconds before we get there. In Luke chapter 15 and verse 4, y'all are timing me, aren't you? In Luke 15 and verse 4, the story that's told about that lost sheep, the Bible says, will not that shepherd leave the 99 and go? The same word that's used in the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel, is the same word in Luke 15 and verse 4, will not that shepherd? He's got 99 in the fold, isn't that enough? No, there's one who is lost. There's one sheep who's no longer in the fold, and what does that shepherd do? What does he do with a heart of compassion? He goes in search of that sheep. And the end of verse 4 says, he doesn't stop until he finds that lost sheep. Brethren, if we're going to help convert, if we're going to help bring back those brethren who have wandered away, we've got to reach out. We can't wait around for them to reach out to us. We've got to reach out to them. And when we reach out to them, we need to have a heart that helps to reassure them. A heart that helps to reassure them that, you know, you're still loved here. You know, you're still wanted here. You're still welcomed here. There's words of greeting where you introduce yourself, but then there are those words of hope where you say, you still have a home if you will just come. Words of encouragement that try to get them to come back. Now that you've had a chance to digest the handout that has been given to you, members of this congregation know that on May 18th, on May 18th, on that third Sunday of May, we have what we're calling our Coming Home Sunday. And the design of that day is what this lesson is centered around. It's to try to get those wayward members to come home. Now, I know you've already looked through this, but on the inside of this handout, there are some 90 names of former members of this congregation who are no longer serving and worshiping the Lord faithfully. According to Scripture, our responsibility is to try to help to convert them, to try to help to turn them back. We can't make them. It's their choice, but we can help. We can help by trying to reach out to them. And in our attempts to reach out to them, to try to reassure them that there is still a place for them in the family of God. I want you to look at the front of this handout, and I want us to recognize that there is a purpose. The purpose of this endeavor is to get this congregation as a family to rally around each other, to encircle each other, to encourage each other in the family. But not only within the family, but to look out to those family members who are outside and to do what we can to restore them to their first love. And so as a family, here are the opportunities that we have. We have the opportunity to take the list of names that are inside this handout and not just take this handout and leave it on the pew, or to leave it in our car, or to leave it tucked away in our Bible for the next several weeks, but to take the names that are listed here with the addresses that are listed here and to try to reach out to them. Every name in this document needs to be touched. Every name that's listed here needs to have a person, not just a, but multiple personal contacts made from the church here. They need to receive multiple cards and letters. Even if you don't know who they are, there's going to be names in here you have no clue who they are, but they are a brother or a sister in Christ who has fallen away. That's enough for us to know that they need a letter. They need a card that invites them to come back. We need some of you who will take time to write every person in this document. That's a lot of writing. But is it not worth it? Is it not worth trying to bring back that lost sheep who has gone astray? To help you with this, we have created a couple different cards, because it may be hard to know what to say. What do you say? You don't want to say the wrong thing. You don't want to promise to, you don't want to reassure to the point where you make it seem like it's no big deal. You don't want to make it seem like there's no repentance that's going to be needed on their part. What do you say? How do you encourage them in a helpful way? And so there is a table out in the lobby as you leave this morning. And on that table are two different cards. They're virtually the same thing. But you find the card that helps fits you the most. There's a card that on the front of it, it just says, "We miss you." And on the back of it, it invites them. It says, "Come and spend the morning with the brethren who love you and miss you, and they want you to come home." It may be there's names on here, people that you know and you remember. And you see their name and it hurts when you see their name, because you remember what it used to be like before they left. In your letter to them, you could include a card that just says, "We miss you." There's also cards out there that you could say are maybe a little less personal. Maybe you don't know the person on the list. Maybe you're not sure who they are, and so there's a card that just says, "Welcome home. We just want to invite you to come back and worship with us on May 18th. Obviously, we'd love to have these brethren back on April 27th. Obviously, they don't have to wait until May 18th, but we set aside that day as a special day to focus in on an event that we could invite them to come and to be a part of that day. If you look on the front of your handout, there are a number of things that are listed there. There's also on that table in the lobby some blank paper, in case you don't have any. There's some envelopes, in case you need some. There's a lot of letters that need to be written. There's some postcards that can be written. If you can avail yourself, if you need any of that that's on the table, take it and use it. Not to pay your bills. You know, if you get, use the envelope that your bill payer sends you to pay your bills with. But if you need an envelope to send a letter, to include a card to someone to invite them to come back on coming home Sunday, take all of it that's there, and we'll get more if we need to. There's a mailbox out in the lobby. I'm sure you saw that. We've used that on a number of occasions. If you would like the church to put the postage on the letters and the postcards, if you say, "I can write them, but I can't afford to mail all of these," great. Bring them and put them in the mailbox. We'll mail them for you. We don't want postage, the cost of postage, to be the reason that these folks are not invited back for coming home Sunday. Fill up the mailbox and we'll mail them out over these next several weeks. Brethren, this is where it gets real. It's possible for us to read James 5, verses 19 and 20, and to keep it as some sort of a passage that we keep at arm's length. But here's a passage where the Bible says, "If any one of you wanders from the truth," and here we don't just have a generic "any one of you," we have names that go along with it. What can you do over these next 3 weeks to invite these to come back? We encourage you to make sure that your correspondence is encouraging and positive and welcoming. Not a time to get out your best hellfire and brimstone sermon and lay it on them. If you were here Wednesday night, in our class on Wednesday night, we used Hebrews chapter 10 to talk about how can we help bring folks back. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 through 31, God basically told some brethren who were falling away, if you're going to leave the fold of God, then what do you have waiting for you? Certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, and how desperate and how horrible it is to fall into the hands of an angry God. God spoke very directly to individuals who were leaving Him. But then you get down to verse 32, and He changes the tone. He transitions into a tone that says, but remember the former days. Go back and remember how good it used to be. And that's more the tone that we are seeking these particular efforts to have, a tone that's not condescending or belligerent in any way, but a tone that is just inviting and welcoming. Because, brethren, we need to see souls. We need to recognize that the eternity of souls is at stake. In James chapter 5 and verse 19, the Bible says we need to help to convert. We need to help to turn these brethren back by reaching out to them. When we reach out to them through this correspondence, to try to reassure them as much as we can that there is still a place for them in the family of God if they will come back. And then to do what we can to restore them. In Galatians 6 and verse 1, Bible says, similar to James chapter 5 and verse 19, in Galatians 6 and verse 1, the Bible says, brethren, if any one of you is overtaken in a trespass, in a sin, let those who are spiritual restore that one who has fallen away. Restore that one who has been overtaken in a trespass. That's our job. Our job is to help to turn them around. Our job is to help to reaffirm for them the foundation of truth and righteousness which they have left. Our job is to help to reset them. We've said it before, but that word restore in Galatians 6 and verse 1 was a medical term. A medical term that doctors used about resetting a broken bone. That's our job as the family of God, is to bring them back. And to help to reset them where they once were. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 says our job is to forgive them. Our job is to bring them back into the fold and to reaffirm our love for them. In James 5 and verse 20, God shows us what that result is. If we will take our responsibility seriously, our responsibility of helping to convert a member who's in sin, the result is that we will help to cover a multitude of sins. It's not that we cover them. We don't cover them. It's the blood of Jesus that covers their sins. But by our help, we can help to make that happen. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to help rescue those who are away from God and they are away in sin? Are we ready to help to rescue them? That's what James 5 verse 20 says. Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way, what does he do? Saves a soul from death. You've rescued them. They're on a path that is going to lead to eternal destruction. They're on a path of spiritual death, and if you help to convert them, what have you done? You have helped to cover their sins. You have rescued them away from sin. And when you rescue them away from sin, you are one who helps to reconcile them back to God. Those who are away from God, those who have left the family of God, those who have wandered from the truth, who have fallen away, they are away from a right relationship with God. And if we help to convert them, then we will help to cover their sins, and we will help to reconcile them back to their God. And having done that, we will be able to help them be redirected. Instead of being on that path of destruction, we can help them be back on a path that's directed towards heaven. Isn't that worth our effort? Isn't that worth our time? To see somebody who is away from God, to get them back to God. Get them away from sin, get them back to God, and get them course towards heaven. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to be a part of an effort that pulls those who are lost back in, who pairs them back up with God and puts them back on the road to heaven? Or will we be some who say, well, I'll just let everybody else have a part in that. I'll let those who are good at it have a part in that. If all you did was write on a piece of paper, we want to invite you to come on May 18th and put one of these cards in the envelope and mailed it. Who knows but what that will do? And the reality is, you may not see the fruit of it on May 18th. But once you plant the seed, some seeds take a little bit longer to grow in certain soils, or certain soils take a little bit longer to let a seed grow. If you were here for Troy's report, he talked about a man who was restored to the church down in Paraguay. And I don't have all of the details by any stretch. But Troy told me a little bit about that and how that restoration started with a phone call to that brother who was wayward. Started with a phone call from a member of the church that just said, I thought I would call you and see, is there any way that you can come back to the Lord? And if I remember right, was it 2 years? About 2 years from the time that that phone call was made until he ultimately came back. You never know. You never know the good that you do until you get out there and you do the good. And let God take care of the rest. You see, we've used the word help in this. We help to convert because we're not the one doing it. And we help to cover. We help because we're not the one doing it. Let's let God use us and then let God take care of the rest. Will you pray with me, please? Our Holy Father, we come to you this morning in recognition that we are lowly individuals who are hardly better than anyone else on this earth, but because of the blood of your Son, because of the blood of your Son, we are able to stand on this earth pure and holy and clean in your sight. And Father, we don't put any pride in that, but we put thanksgiving in the fact that you have given your Son in order that our sins might be covered. And Father, as we have talked this morning, as we have considered the responsibility that you have given to us to help to turn back those who have wandered away, Father, we pray that you will use us. Father, help us to reach out in a way that you would find appropriate, in a way that you would find to be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. But Father, we are grieved as we look at this list of names. We are grieved by those who have wandered away. And Father, we pray that you will just use us to encourage them to come home. Father, this morning we pray for Joe, Teresa, Larry, Deborah, Jerry, Morris, Donna, Aaron, Ethan, Amanda, Leah, Sarah, Lynn, Kayla, Dan, Betsy, Jeff, Betty, Chip, Tamala, Nancy, Sinyon, Sonia, Tamika, Jessica, Amy, Chris, Daniel, Keith, Woody, Cindy, Hazel, Michelle, Richard, Erlene, Alexandria, DeAndre, Minor, Katie, Alyssa, James, Deborah, Robert, Joan, TJ, Isilda, Kim, Rhonda, Bill, Michelle, Philip, Bobby, Sabrina, Kim, and Jim, and Sharon, and Paul, and Courtney, and Michael, and Silas, Valerie, Tim, Maxine, Debbie, Joel, Corinne, Kyle, David, Teresa, Andrew, Daniel, Shelley, Kevin, and Kim, and Amy, Sean, Jim, Quintel, Ricky, Brittany, Jamie, Brian, Robin, Tiffany, Julio, Dadlany, Desiree, Penny, Tom, Judy, Amy, Norma, Pete, Kathy, Kip, Brandon, Brian, Iva, Jordan, Doris, Jessica, John, Priscilla, Patricia, Matthew, Jessica, Tammy, Brian, Clayton, Latoya, Major, Tia, Kylie, Kendra, Kirsten, Shirley, and Lynn. Father, these are more than just names on a page. These are souls that need to be saved. Father, please help us and use us. We pray that their hearts will be open, receptive, and tender to our efforts. Father, may they reflect upon their own mortality and the eternal destiny of their souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's no better family on this earth than the family of God. Question this morning is, are you a part of that family? Today you can become a part of that family by doing it just like the Bible says to do it. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then this very day, why don't you make up your mind to repent? Turn away from the wrong that's in your life. Turn away from sin and say, I don't want to serve sin anymore. I want to serve God. If that's your heart this morning, you can confess the faith that's in your heart, just like they did in the New Testament, and to be baptized for the reason the Bible says to be baptized. Not for a reason that some man has invented or made up or has taught, to be baptized for the remission of every one of your sins. That's when the blood of Jesus washes away your sins. That's when the blood of Jesus covers your sins so that they're no longer visible in the eyes of God. They're washed away by the blood of Jesus. God adds you to His body, to His church. God adds you to the family of God.